Welcome to Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here are 221-1402. It's the 5th of August, the stupendous day. One that was historic, in fact.
Thanks to your mother and father.
That's right. They had a great time, and here I came. 61 years ago today.
8 pounds, 6 ounces.
There we go. Hey, and speaking of 8 pounds, 6 ounces, here's Frosty.
Yeah.
Frosty, how you doing?
Good. Good morning. Yeah. Happy birthday.
Well, you know, well, thanks a lot, Frost. You know, it's really been a pleasure working with you.
Yeah, it is.
It's great. And speaking of a pleasure, my soulmate, Linda.
Well, good morning. I think that it's very appropriate this morning to take this call. Let's go to the phones right now. Hi, Mom and Dad.
Hi.
Good
We're
morning.
We're calling to wish Carl a happy birthday.
Okay, let's do it together. We're going to be shamefully silly. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Carl. Happy birthday to you.
Well, June and Tom, thank you so much. You know, a guy couldn't have better in-laws than you all.
Okay,
you're just like
you, Carl.
Like my parents.
We love you.
Oh, I love you all too.
Anyway, you have a wonderful day.
Well, thank you so much.
And we'll talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. And you know what was great is that our guest today, Ron Largent, was singing along. He does, you know, that's a musician.
Absolutely.
For you. If you're going to be singing happy birthday, I'm joining you.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't bring out a trombone or something or
go.
Start going with it. Okay, you know, it's, you know.
A small business week. We covered yesterday. We had some great guests. And today we are going to be covering more things that are happening on the local scene with business. 221-1402. We're taking your calls. I'm sure we're going to get the juice flying today.
It is because, you know, there's a lot of things that need to be done. You know, we're taking a week. And that's a long time on a radio show, you know, because you go by people who take sound bites. You know, they go, oh, what's this? And they go on to something else. Small business is so important, not only to this country, but to this city and this county. We need to talk about it. We need to, you know, we're having some problems here, people. You know, our tax base is falling through the floor. And how do you stop that? And there's a variety of ways you can, you can cut services. But wouldn't it be better to have increased tax revenues and not by taxing businesses out of business, but to increase the number of businesses in our area? Now, some things we can't do. We can't fight. I mean, we can fight the state, you know, the horrendous taxes and fees they put on here and emissions control. As we said yesterday, that we're losing 15,000 jobs, you know, a year in manufacturing, if not more, because of emissions problems and tax problems from companies. I just said, you know, that we want you to put $5 million into this emissions control. And the company goes, which has 500 people, says, watch me. And they leave. And they leave 500 people here without a job.
We're going to take a break right now. We'll be back. We are talking business. We have two special guests. Hang out. Wait till you hear what's on the other side. This is Carla Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio News Talk 1400 KQMS. Good morning.
Welcome back,
birthday boy.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in News Talk 1400 KQMS. Let's not make a big thing out of this. Maybe, some presents, cards. You know, I was awakened this morning, Frosty, by these tremendous kisses, the feeling of somebody all over my face, you know, the little tongue in the air. And I grabbed the dog, threw it off my face at 5 o'clock this morning and said, enough, dog. And so that was my wake-up call on my birthday. I have to take the dog out because she's got her tongue in my ear.
All right.
Linda never moved. That's it. And I made coffee. Made sure so she had coffee, and I took the dog out. Happy birthday. Yeah, I was lucky she didn't, you know.
No, that's a very special birthday. Awakening like that. Okay, let's get some serious.
146-pound dog sit on your face.
Elk killer.
Yeah. Okay, no, yeah, I want to thank some people first before we get in here. Alice did something. One of our listeners, a very loyal listener, and Alice, you're such a great person, took us down to meet Lucille Locke. And this lady is, we did, Rob Burrows, who's from the Northern California Historical
Veterans
Veterans History Museum, and I went down there to talk to her. And this lady is so stupendous. She's going to be 100 years old in October. I hope, I pray, I wish that when I'm 80, many years from now, that I'm half as sharp as this lady, half as, you know, have the personality and have the attitude that this lady has, Ms. Locke. Now what a great lady.
You were introduced to her through Alice,
one of our listeners,
which is a loyal listener, and she's so articulate when she calls. So she arranged this meeting.
That's right. And, you know, we went down, and Ms. Locke, Lieutenant Colonel Locke, retired. She was one of the first women Army Corps. She was one of the first five ladies sent to Europe in World War II. Ends up on Eisenhower's staff. She is a stenographer type. She was there at the Casablanca meeting when the president was there and all the dignitaries, Churchill, all the generals, to decide when D-Day was going to be or where it was going to be. And this lady has had, I mean, she remembers everything. Her ship got sunk by a torpedo when they were heading over there. I mean, just what a great, I mean, and she, you know, picking, you know, this did this. We talked about Elliot Roosevelt, who was President Roosevelt's son, and how he was dating one of the ladies, but he wasn't really a nice guy. I mean, this was stuff that you're in history right then. But what a nice lady. And again, you know, Lieutenant Colonel Locke, thank you so much. And Alice, thank you for providing this to us. You know, what can I say? It just made my day. You know, you talk about a birthday present. That was it.
Well, you recorded the conversation.
Everything.
To go back a few more times. So it all can be documented.
Well, she's got everything. She's got photos. She's even still got the same machine that General George Patton gave her to do the stenography on because she lost hers when the ship was sunk. It's great.
Wow.
Okay.
Amazing. I know.
I needed to say thank you for that. Now, our guest today, again, Small Business Week. You know, we should be talking, you know, some of the members of the Chamber of Commerce here and some of the people here that have had successful businesses. But we want to talk about the problems facing us here, and we're going to talk to Ron Largent, who, of course, is from Keller Williams and real estate. He's been around here a long time as a musician and a veteran.
Pillar of the community.
And Scott Putnam from Apex Technology Management, who's had his business here for around 17 years. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Good morning.
Okay, you know, when we talk about business here in town, one of the things we were talking about before is, you know, we talk about the tax base. We talk about the salaries of our, you know, government employees. We talk about what we can do to bring in. That's kind of like the bottom line for us is what issues are facing our businessmen today in Reading, and what can we do to make the business climate better? Let's start with Ron here.
Well, I think one of the issues that's, of course, facing all of the small businesses is we obviously need more business. I mean, that's the bottom line. That's what we're confronting. I think one of the problems is when our existing businesses start to expand, and we have a number of them that are growing, even in a downtime like this. Either they're moving to a new facility, they could be downsizing in some instances for more efficiency. We seem to encounter a lot of roadblocks, and I think that's the most discouraging part, because you want to make a change, but then by the time you get involved with the procedures, whether it's a city or county, it just becomes a real headache, and we get a lot of feedback that, you know, it's not worth it. Let's just stay where we are.
Can you give us some examples, sir?
Well, we have a number of examples over the last couple of years. I think the most glaring one, which I've talked about to Kirk Starman and others, Hamilton and the whole bunch at City, was that we had a property for sale on Pine Street, right in the downtown area. And we had a buyer come to us through another agency that wanted to put a bakery in. And they went to the city and showed them their plans. And the long and short is the lot was going to be sold for $160,000.
Not a great deal of money.
No.
I mean, it's not for being downtown.
But it was a perfect lot for them.
Right.
It had great access off of Pine Street. It's still vacant, by the way. It's right there near Lulu's restaurant. Mm-hmm. But they wanted to put a bakery in. And they were going to bake the bread on the site and then have people come in. They were going to have a little place where you could come in and get coffee and kind of a drive-through type of thing. The lot was perfect size for it. And they went to the city, and about 3 weeks later, we got the call. They wanted to cancel the escrow. So I got involved. I said, what's going on? And it turned out that there were their total fees amounted to almost $80,000.
So half of what they were paying for the property was going to be just fees to be able to start. Now, that doesn't even count construction costs.
No, they would not break ground. They had to pay those fees in the course of getting their building permits. This was very discouraging, obviously.
Now, could you kind of break down what you think? Well, we have to take a break, but when we get back, I would like to hear just kind of ish what $80,000 in fees would be in order to open a bakery. We'll be right back. This is Carla Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This is Carl Lindebaugh. We have Ron Largent and Scott Putnam. And they're here, and we're talking business. We're talking problems. We're talking the fact is, why does it cost $80,000 for fees for a $160,000 lot?
And a bakery downtown that would be darling and very much needed. Can you break that down?
Well, as it turned out, we found that what they call traffic impact fees were a big factor, water and sewer. As it turns out in this particular property, which again is brings up a question as how does this happen? There is a building, existing building next door to the vacant lot, and it has water and sewer. It's been there forever. It's a lighting. It's been an old lighting company. It's been there 50 years. That the city determined that the new building could not use their line to go into the city sewer. So they had to create a new line, which then cost a great deal of money. And that was part of it, so the water and sewerage fees was part of it. The other was the traffic impact fees, because that's part of the section of Reading where they're trying to have development, so there's a fee structure there that everybody has to pay into it. These all added up. There were some additional fees of the engineering costs and so forth. They just made it very, very difficult for this business to start. Because that's before the cost of the building.
Well, you know, we talked to another business that to put a, when they wanted to start the restaurant, I think we've already mentioned it, but let's go back again for people that may not have heard it. They had to put a $20,000 fire hydrant in across the street that they had to pay for, they added on the top of that, plus the other fees, and plus the other fees they kept hitting them with. You know, until finally it was, you know, even though they had a great restaurant there, it got to the point that it was easier to work for somebody else.
Well, I think one of the problems is, and I've talked this over with the city leaders, so it's nothing new. We spend so much time on code enforcement of things that have happened that have gone wrong in the past. We spend a huge amount of money finding out whether there's an illegal sign someplace and dealing with it that we miss the point. But those kinds of inspections, code enforcement departments, cost money. And that seems to be what's driving the large fee structure. And I know Bossetti and a few of the others are very concerned about this because we just cannot allow this to continue, or it's going to continue to kill business.
Yeah, tell us about that church again. We've talked about it a little bit. But
well, the church incident, and this involved both the city and the county, but a church wanted to go into 1,000 square feet. It's basically a small 25-member church. They need an office and a meeting place on Sunday only. They only meet one day a week. So we presented a building to them, and the ruling was that even though, and this was a new building, new plumbing, it's less than a year old, even though the building had good plumbing, good electrical, and a good location, a small strip type retail center, that they had to have a his and her bathroom. And there's no way to appeal it, and that's the problem. In other words, a his and her bathroom rather than what we would call a unisex bathroom.
So this is a state law, or is it a...
Well, this happened to be... No, this was within the county.
So it's a county law, and they would not give a waiver to that.
That's correct. And that's you know, that killed the deal, because you have to go back to the landlord.
So Shasta Board of Supervisors could have fixed that, right?
Well, It could have been a zoning change, which is a whole nother big issue. I mean, these things are, quite frankly, from my point of view, when you get into what does it take to change things, it's so discouraging. You just can't afford the time.
So these people did not, of course, do this because it would have been thousands and thousands of dollars, which is a small church.
Killed the deal because the landlord would have to go in and do the plumbing to make this thing happen for a small group of 25 people.
Well, how can they use it anyway if there's, what kind of business can they use if it's just that one bathroom?
Well, it could be a nice, it could be an insurance office or a financial. Oh,
but you don't have it open to the public.
That's
in other
correct.
Words. Okay,
yeah.
So. And which leads us to a bunch of other things, but we've got to take a break here in about a minute. But when we come back, I want to talk about some of the more onerous things.
And our guest, Scott Putnam.
Because we're going to come back, we're going to talk about what Scott does. I mean, because we're showcasing businesses here, and Scott's had one that hires a lot of people, and he's been around for 17 years, and he's seen a lot of changes. So we're going to be talking about that. But some of the things that we've run into is predator lawyers, and I'll say that, not all of them, of course, that will come in and they will take a code violation. And come in and sue the people because they don't have a bathroom that is set up for handicapped. Even though the people, may not use this restroom, they're still going to sue them. And they get thousands and thousands of dollars on this. So, Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk, 1400 KQMS.
Welcome back. We are talking about small businesses, the pros, the cons. The cons, the pros. Mm-hmm. And everything in between because, we've said this and we really mean it, that we love Reading and we want to see Reading thrive. And how we thrive is by supporting our small businesses. So think twice sometimes when you just kind of want to go to the big box store. Somebody that we have in the studio today, we're very honored to have Scott Putnam, who is with Apex Technology, a computer network for small businesses. Good morning.
Good morning, Linda.
So tell us about give us a little backstory on you.
Well, I run a computer networking firm. We have about 30 employees here in Reading, and we provide high-end network services to small businesses and medium and large businesses in the area. But one of the biggest challenges that we run into is finding talented employees, young employees who have the knowledge and the skill set that we need. And the problem isn't that they're not here, because we look at the high school and the college students, and we've got some incredibly bright young kids coming up in the area. But the problem is that there aren't enough jobs here to keep them in the area. And so they're leaving straight out of high school and college. And then we don't have the job force that we need to be able to hire from in the pool.
Do you have somebody from your company that goes in and looks at some shining students and recruit them right from school?
Yeah, that's certainly something that we've tried to start doing. What we used to do, we always were looking for people at the very high end of our field, and we've realized that we really need to start much younger, start even in high school, and get people involved in internships and that sort of thing.
So what brought you to Reading? How long have you been here?
I've personally been in Reading for about 20 years, since high school. And I came up because my father moved up to the area. But I think it's a fantastic area to live and to raise kids. My biggest concern is just ensuring that the jobs will be there for my kids as they grow older.
And tell us about your company. What is your niche in our community?
Primarily, we provide outsourced IT services for healthcare and government as our two biggest sectors. We also do a lot with professional services, so legal and accounting and engineering firms, but primarily the healthcare industry and small governments like City of Red Bluff and Tehama County.
So what would you do? I mean, if you were king today, Scott, what would you do to help businesses right here in Reading in the North State?
Well, I think the biggest thing is we really need to encourage more small businesses to move up to the area. I think an educational campaign in the Bay Area and Sacramento about the quality of life issues and about the opportunities up here, and then coupling that with really having open arms for the businesses that are interested in moving up here. I'd love to see more college students straight out of CSU Chico or something like that encouraged to come and start up businesses here in Reading. And have those businesses that may only start with one or two employees, but really have them be encouraged by the local government officials to come up and then grow their businesses here?
Well, many of our businesses start out as one. You know, you kind of like you're selling yourself first, and then you kind of expand that business. But it's still a small business, and you're still bringing money in. You can still, you know, you're still renting office space. And, you know, you see a lot of these young entrepreneurs, and you're, you know what, you are so right here. You know, they're coming out of college, they've got, you know, they're fired up, you know, they're all feisty, you know, that they're ready to, really ready to romp. And so what you got to do is find a way to get those, get 50 or 60 of them, you know, okay, maybe not all at one time, but to come over here and say, hey, look, we're business friendly right here in Reading. We do have a labor pool that is able to support you, and we're going to make it easy for you. You see these buildings that are for lease and they're all empty? Guess what? Half the price that you ordinarily would pay. You need some help with electricity? We've got really low electricity rates here. You know, people argue that, and don't call in and tell me. I know that some of them aren't.
It's better than some of the bigger cities.
We're happy with that. But we can offer that.
Yes.
We can offer a lot of things here. You know, our school system, you know, we can complain about it. We've got 17 school superintendents. We can complain about part of it, but it's still, you know, it's still rated highly. It's a good place to live. Why can't we get people over here? And we should be able to do that. But we need a story to have them come over here.
And I think we need to really open our arms to them. I mean, going off of what Ron was saying earlier, I understand the idea behind a lot of these loopholes or hurdles that people have to jump through. The idea is they want to have beautiful buildings. They want to have very nice aesthetic development. But which is better, a vacant building or a building that's occupied by a tenant who's going to put in a lot of money into improving it and making the area better? And I think in the long run, we're shooting ourselves in the foot when we make it very difficult for people to get in the door and begin doing the things that are going to improve those neighborhoods.
What's happening with the promenade? You know, the promenade seems to be vacant to me downtown, the mall that's come off. Now, Ron, if you're just checking in or tuning in, our other guest is Ron Largent. Ron, you have a great backstory, too. You've been here. When did you come to Reading?
Well, we came to Reading in 1971, and I went to work for Chaskade Realty. Some of your listeners may remember Harold Finkler, a great, great guy. And there weren't too many realty firms in town. There was Reading Realty and House of Realty, and, of course, my good friend Bob Medley was here. And we really found that Reading was a place where there were a lot of small businesses doing very well. Now, we did have a strong lumber industry at that time. We did have a strong government presence here, of course. But really, Reading was by itself in that we pretty much had everything here. We didn't have a Trader Joe's, of course, but we were pretty self-sufficient. It was a small town environment with a lot of small businesses. And I think to a large degree, that's still how it is. We're not a suburb of Sacramento, as oftentimes people think. We have a very distinct nature here. And Scott, you mentioned the quality of life. When we find people coming in, the first time they're, in fact, there's a fellow coming in today, and we're talking about the quality of life. People want to come here because of that quality of life. We don't have the crime problem they have in other areas. So many positives. So I think part of that drive and part of that appeal should be we should be looking at ways to increase the number of small businesses, whether it's a computer technology firm. I've said for some time now we should emphasize the whole tourism industry. There is a huge market there. A classic example was the last couple of weeks. We had these large swimming events here. They stayed in hotels. If you went down to the restaurants over the weekend, you saw them. I mean, they're all over the place. Big League Dreams has these big tournaments. They bring in 300 and 400 people. They all stay in hotels and motels. They eat in restaurants. I mean, that's part of it. That's part of being a small business.
But I'll tell you, you know, you get into things. Look at Big Bike Weekend. At one time, that was huge. People could ride their bikes, you know, just like they did for Cool April Nights. They put a kibosh on all of that. They started forcing them out. Let me tell you, Sturgis, South Dakota, 6,000 people, they make enough money in 2 weeks that they're the third largest income producer in South Dakota. And you know what? There's a lot of people, and it becomes, you know, it takes a lot of work and infrastructure. But imagine if you had, and I'm not just saying motorcycles, it could be anything, that you brought in 50 or 60,000 people. And a lot of people say, oh, that's going to be such a pain. It is, but guess what? Think of the millions of dollars that come to you.
Yes.
And this part of the country is perfect for something like that.
Well, the end of September, we're going to have an air show. And the Blue Angels are coming in, the Navy flight team. we're going to have a huge crowd in here. And I would like to have a study done by maybe one of the college students. How many dollars are going to come in, flow in through the restaurants, the hotels that will be occupied? I mean, I can see this is a big weekend like it is at rodeo time. That's what we should be emphasizing, and that's a very good place for small business to interact.
Well, you've got to have people that, you know, think outside the box, and I just don't think we have those people right now in decision-making areas. You got to think outside the box. You got to get people that are successful that, you know, maybe bring in somebody that's 20 years old, thinks asymmetrically. You just can't keep doing things the same way. Things change, people, and that's what we've got to, that's what we've got to get across to our leadership here.
Scott, what's the average age? We got to take a break. I'm going to come back, and I need to ask Scott Putnam as far as in your with your employees, the average age of the workers and what they're doing and what their dreams and hopes are. This is Carl and Linda Bott here, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, welcome back. Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Carl and Linda Bott, Small Business Week. Marty, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, the biggest problem that this state has is the state. The state wants to step in and wants to tell you how you can do business. And the problem is, when they step in and tell you how to do business, they totally destroy your business.
You know, well, we've discussed this, Marty, and you know that we've got people in decision-making processes, you know, in the system that have never run a business before.
Right.
And they come out of, and you know, we've been talking about, they come out of college, they've got all the credentials, but they've never made a payroll. They have never had to try and build a business.
Exactly. They think they know what they're
right.
talking about, but they really don't. Haven't lived the critter.
That's exactly right. Now, the only way, my analogy would be like with music, the armchair musician, and Ron being such an accomplished musician here, Ron Largent.
I can sing better than Michael Jackson.
But
you don't want to hear it.
But my point is, again, you know, coinciding with what you're saying, is that, you know, people don't really realize the intensity factor of what it is to build something and start with a daily commitment into something. And so here you've got somebody who doesn't really even have a clue coming out of, say, for instance, somebody coming out of college with an education. They've learned through books. They've learned through lectures. But they've never really been on the street.
But they don't know the real world.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
struggle
right.
on the
exactly
street.
That's exactly it. Yeah. They don't know the real world. Look at Timothy Geithner. This guy doesn't have a clue how the real world works. He can say what he wants to say, but he doesn't have a clue how it really works.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that leads us to some other things, Marty, but we've got the phone lines backed up now, so thank you so
right,
much for your
cool.
phone call.
Keep that passion going.
Yeah. You know, one of the things, too, is that, and I'm not knocking the Obama administration much, but here's the thing, is the president of our country here has never really run a business. He's never made a payroll. He's obviously a smart person. He's been in politics. He's been a community organizer. Okay, you know. Obviously very bright, but he's never run a business. And I think that the people he's got around him, I think there's a distrust of business. And because of this distrust of business, that they are making some pretty onerous decisions about how much money people can make. Hey, the government can take care of you better. You know, we need to impose our will on business. I think if there was a few more people in there that maybe understood it, you know, that maybe some of these decisions might not have been made. Robert, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
Fine, Robert.
Good. Thanks. Yeah, hey, was the state. Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And one of the main ways that the state impedes small business is that as soon as you go into business, you paint a target on your back because employees can walk into the labor, you know, industrial relations office and accuse you of something, and you're guilty from the word go. And as a matter of fact, they will just tell them exactly how much they can get, what they should say, the whole nine yards, you know. And, you know, somehow that needs to be changed because we're not living in the 1930s. There's no sweatshops. There's nobody is working people 24 hours a day. So I think that's kind of, you know, that's something that needs to change. Obviously, that's not on a local level.
Well, no, but it's not just what you're saying. You know, we've known of various businesses that somebody knows how to play the system. They'll add 2 or 3 minutes onto a time card, and, you know, you don't really notice that. And all of a sudden, they get hit for overtime. They're not being paid. So then the business ends up having to, you know, pay not only the person but a fine. So this is ridiculous.
Yeah, and beyond that, they can just simply say something that's not true. Just say whatever they want to say.
Yeah.
And you are guilty as an employer until you can prove yourself innocent. And that whole system needs to be changed because people are taking advantage of that system.
Yeah.
But on a local level, what I wanted to say is one way for tradesmen that we can help is the tradesmen need to quit cutting each other's throat. I mean, there are prices out there that are just ridiculous right now, and people, you know, just can't compete or won't do that. And then customers that accept those prices are going to, you know, 9 times out of 10 end up getting shoddy work. So,
yeah.
You know, people need to watch out for those low prices, and I'm going to plead with all the tradesmen out there to, you know, keep that price up to a reasonable level.
I understand. Hey, Robert, thanks for calling. We've got to take a break here.
Thank you.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Free Fire Radio News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hang on the lines.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400. Carl and Linda Bott.
Birthday boy.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of time left here. Norm, good morning. Norm.
Oh, how you doing, Carl and Linda?
We're good, right, Norm. We're fine, Norm.
Hey, I was in business here for 30 years as a small business. And my big complaint was, I don't care whether it was federal, state, county, or city. When they drove up to your front door, you knew they were there for one thing only and one thing: to get into your wallet, to find something wrong with that you were doing.
Well,
and
you know,
I fought them for 30 years, and I finally gave up.
Well, you know, we have friends who's that are in business that the state guy came in there and accused the brother of the guy that owns the business of working there. He says, "I don't work here. I'm just my brother. I come over." And he turns around to a customer and says, "Do you work here?" And the customer goes, "No, I'm a customer." And he says, "I don't believe you." Well, comes into the guy's office, throws stuff, takes his seat. I mean, this is like, you know, hey, excuse me, but there's something wrong here.
Absolutely.
Kind of like a Nazi.
And they've reported the guy. Yeah,
and
they've,
we went
they've
through
reported
this over and over
yeah.
with people coming in.
Yeah, this is
wow.
ridiculous.
It was a constant fight.
Well, that's why it's, you know.
Well, we need
people,
more of a small
yeah.
business atmosphere in
well,
the whole area.
Well, that's it. You know, and protect our small businesses.
That's
you know,
sure.
this is where the Board of Supervisors and the City Council should say, we're protecting our businesses.
Right.
You know, the hell with people coming in here
right.
and harassing
we're here to
our
help
people.
You. We're not trying to put you out of business. Oh. We want you to stay in business. We want you to make a living.
Well, you know what the scariest words are, right? I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. Hey, thanks a lot, Norm.
You too. Take care now.
Let's go back to our guest, Scott Putnam, and with Apex Technology. How many people do you employ?
We currently employ 28 employees.
And the age group is?
Most of our employees tend to be younger, probably average age around 25, but we have range from 25 to 50. So.
That's wonderful. And so do you find that with this age group, because you hear so many people from an older generation that will say, our youth today doesn't have, the...
Wherewithal.
The what do you want to call it? The ethic, the work ethics that many people did back 40 years ago. How do you feel about that?
You know, I feel that the generation that I'm seeing coming out of high school and college right now has an absolutely phenomenal work ethic. They're actually really great people. They want to see the company succeed. And also, I'm involved in a number of scholarship committees, and you would just be amazed at the kids that you see who are coming out with a 4.2, 4.3 GPA. They're doing 4 or 5 different sports. They're involved in volunteering. I really do think that the younger generation sometimes gets a bad rap, and there are some really fantastic people out there.
Well, that makes my
well,
heart
know,
feel
well,
warm.
Well, you know, this is what I see. Yeah. I see in the military, you know, people question, you know, if you look at the statistics on our military, you know, it's more, you know, high school graduates, you know, in the military. They come from, middle class families. They're not people dropouts out of school because they don't really want that. They're not people that can't make it. These are kids, men and women. I shouldn't say kids. These are young men and women that have the right attitude, that go out there to do these things. And the people you're seeing, Scott, you know, I believe that our future is secure with these type of people. But one of the things that was said today and, is about the ones coming out of college. What a great idea that is. go over there to these colleges, you know, in the general area or somewhere in Southern California or something, show them what Reading is, show them what the North State is, show them that we could be business friendly. We welcome you young people up here. We welcome you to start your business here. And how can we do it to make it easy for you? You young entrepreneurs that have these great ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, look, we'd really like to thank Ron Largent and out of Keller Williams and the Largent team. And, of course, Scott Putnam from Apex Technology Management for being here today and discussing, you know, some of the problems that are facing our city and our North State here.
Well, thank you for doing the Business Week. I think this is great. I've listened to the last couple of days. I'm looking forward to the next 2 days. You're hitting a lot of very, very timely issues that is of great concern. These issues are troubling a lot of people.
Well, you know, if you love the place like we do and like the people that are here, you've got to find some ways of helping. You know, this is our way of helping, is to try and at least put some light on some things to maybe have people start thinking, you know, thinking, hey, what can we do? I mean, we've had some great ideas this week, and we need to capture that. And we're going to, you know, maybe we can move this into a community forum and then push our elected officials to do some things. So thanks a lot, Ron and Scott. Thank you so much. And I'd like to come by and see your place there.
Thank you, Carl, and happy birthday.
Oh, well, thanks a lot. Hey, look, this is Carl on the bottom, Free Fire Radio. It's
You're
been
the
a
best.
Good week. Hey, well, hey, thanks, hon. You know what? I'm a lucky man.
We get to go right up in the sunset in a few weeks after
right.
the concert.
Yeah. Okay, Carl on the bottom, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?